What gives your life meaning?
My life?
That's a tough one.
That's a hard question.
Off the top of my head, I would say my family as well as my ambitions.
The activities I do and we have to cut this little part out.
Like, just to, like, get ahead and show my parents that, you know, like, I can do this on my own. Like, I don't need all the other people.
My job and my friends.
I guess because that's what I usually do.
School.
Sometimes it seems like school, I'm doing well in school, but I know it.
I'm sorry about that. Miss her, do you?
It's all about you.
Don't touch anything.
I will touch anything that's
not. It's not.
Get ahead and show my parents that, you know, like, I can do this on my own. Like, I don't need all the other people.
My job and my friends.
I guess my family and my school, because that's what I usually do.
Probably school.
Sometimes it seems like school, I'm doing well in school, but I know it's not, I mean, essentially that. It's just happiness, being happy, whether it's friends, family, things that are essentially important.
What do you think about God?
I think a lot of things. I think I should live my life better so I can go to heaven and stuff.
What do you think about God?
He doesn't play a big part of my life.
Yeah. What do you think about God?
I'm not a believer.
I don't know. I don't know.
I haven't completely resolved my thoughts about it, but I think that it doesn't really have any bearing on my life, because whether or not God exists is not going to affect how I lead my life. I'm still going to be a moral, decent person.
I believe in God. Not the Bible word for word, but symbolically.
I believe in God. What can I say? I used to be very into the Catholic religion. Like, my family's Catholic.
I was raised in a Catholic school, so I believe that he is... I mean, I don't know how to explain it.
Now I don't really go that much to church, so what can I say? I can't say I'm really into it that much, but I believe in God. I have faith in that there's something, you know, higher than me, and I do pray and things like that.
My mother's Catholic, my father is Muslim, and I was baptized, so I'm Catholic. Well, I mean, not very practicing Catholic, but I'm raised Catholic.
I'm not religious. I'm pretty well informed on a lot of religions, especially when I came to university. You know, we always have demonstrations and people coming out to teach, but I'm pretty big into science, and I'm not a believer.
Well, I was raised Catholic, but, you know, I am a physics major, so usually they say there's a very big conflict between the sciences and the religion.
It's a fundamental part of all the different kinds of religions, and I think there must be something to it, because even scientific explanation doesn't explain everything.
In physics, you learn that there's so much more that we don't know than what we do, and I don't think it doesn't leave room for God, but as far as, you know, the sort of like the mythical God is a man up there in the sky, I truly do not believe that.
What is the first thing you think of when you hear the word Jesus?
I think of a story.
Mm-hmm. What is the first thing you think of when you hear the word Jesus?
Christ. No. Yeah. Just, I guess, the Catholic Church.
Okay. Our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I like to say the message, but nowadays it just seems sort of like the horrors that people commit using the name.
Jesus, the man with the beard that is dressed in the cloth, that does miracles.
Okay. What is the first thing you think of when you hear the word Christian?
I say hypocrite.
Christian, a belief.
You hear the word Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Televangelism.
Conflict.
Church.
What is the first thing you think of when you hear the word Christian?
What I want to be one day. Something I want to be one day.
Wow.
thank you to Adam Farnsworth and Daniel Casto and Bill Richardson for doing the legwork to put that video together. Those surveys came from work we did at the University, University of North Florida, and mainly Florida International University in Miami. Did you notice how open they were just to sitting down and talking about God and about Jesus? And even though their beliefs didn't necessarily line up with what we would say a Christian belief would be, they were open to talking about it. The problem is that there's nobody there to talk to them about it. The exception of Miami, we got Orlando there now. You're about to get mad at me, right? You guys get mad at me. Orlando Hedlon just got hired down in Miami. We actually, he trained in one of the Campus Ministry United affiliate ministries in Tampa, and is in Miami now, and is actually our first plant. So stand up. You guys give him a hand. Very glad to have Orlando Hedlon down there in Miami. We know some good stuff's going to happen down there. Guys, man, it's such a good thing to be here tonight. I got something I want to share with you. It's just going to be an interesting couple of days. I can just tell you. But you guys have this in your folder. If you didn't get a folder when you registered, you could pick one up here. This is from a guy named Wes Reagan. This was originally an excerpt from a sermon in 1965 at ACU, if I'm not mistaken. It was reprinted in 67 in 20th Century Christian. I'm just going to read it real quick. Keep in mind, guys, this is from 1967. From any perspective, the college campus is one of the most urgent mission challenges of our day. The American campus alone embraces a population large enough and potent enough that no man who takes the Great Commission seriously can take the campus population lightly. Among the college students of our country are so many thousands of international students that if we were able to convert even one of 1,000 to Jesus Christ, we would produce 100 influential missionaries annually. Many of these will return to their own countries as government, educational, cultural, and medical leaders. They will have the advantage of intellect and training. These would face no language, custom, or cultural barriers. They would have no nationalistic bias to overcome. The mission impact of such a program would be cumulative and would soon exceed the impact of all the mission work we're now doing. From the viewpoint of a potential influence for Christ, the church cannot afford to neglect the campus. Future world leaders are there. No other segment of society has a higher concentration of people who will shape the thought patterns and value structures of tomorrow. If we want to convert those who will be nationally and internationally articulate, we must reach the college student. From the vantage point of a strategic period of life, the campus population is important. College years are often definitive in establishing value concepts and lifetime goals. In the June 13, 1967 Look magazine, Jack Shepherd, senior editor, describes the questions college students are asking. Who am I? What will I become? What am I in college? What about the draft? What do I value? What are my morals? These questions must be answered in the context of an excellent presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. During college years, students are seeking new knowledge and understanding. They will soon be less receptive and more guarded. From the perspective of the student's need for Christ, the college years are critically important. He's experiencing pressures from exams, grades, the draft, and a dozen other cross currents and waters that to him are uncharted. He is deeply challenged intellectually, morally, and religiously. He experiences maximum temptations at a time of minimum spiritual guidance. Time is past due for the church to explore, chart, and conquer the vast frontier of the campus. It's not enough to diagnose and lament collegiate ills. Our challenge is to take Christ to the campus. Our Bible chairs serve 80 colleges. Our efforts are virtually nil on the remaining 2,120 campuses in the U.S. Few other frontiers have been more neglected. Few are more crucial to the task of world evangelism. 1967. We've come a little way since then. We've come a little way. I think we have a little under 200 campus ministries now. What does it say? 2,120 campuses in the U.S. We're up to about 3,800 now. We've got a big job ahead of us. A big job ahead of us. It's so funny coming across this. I had never heard of the campus evangelism movement. I'd never heard of a guy named Jim Bevis, who you guys will meet some of you tonight. He'll be presenting tomorrow. Never heard of these guys. And I went to the National Campus Ministry Seminar in Dallas last year, and they were giving a Lifetime Achievement Award to Mr. Bevis for his work in the 60s with the campus evangelism movement. He was motivated after he heard, from what I understand, he can tell the story better than I can, but after he heard this this presentation by Wes Reagan. And what they started back then is kind of funny. There are a lot of parallels between what we're trying to do here, but literally thousands and thousands of people became Christians as a result of what they did back in the 60s. The Holy Spirit is alive. He is real. He is active. And he wants to use this fellowship to bless this world. There are a lot of people sitting in this room tonight that were converted as a result of effective campus ministry. There are a lot of people in here who have given their lives to the service in Christian ministry as a result of campus ministry. And guys, there are so many out there that are just waiting. Just like these kids on campus, they're just waiting for someone to come sit down and talk to them. They're just waiting. So it's our prayer here that we can see God-centered individuals going out to these campuses and forming God-centered, Christ-centered communities where the community shapes the individual and the individual shapes the community, all to the glory of God. We want to see healthy ministries on campuses. This seminar this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I hope that you're here with a heart that is open to change. You're going to be challenged over the next couple of days. You're going to be challenged. And I just want you to be open to what the Holy Spirit is going to do over the next couple of days and what he's going to do in your heart. I want you to be open to change. People across this country are awakening to the need that faces us on these campuses. Future world leaders are there. Guys, it's arguable if the United States today, some would say that China is the greatest military power in the world now because of their buildup. That's arguable. I'm not interested in military power. I can tell you something for sure that is not arguable. The United States is the most powerful and influential country as far as culture goes and as far as our outlook and our value system. There is no other. There's no comparison. So what happens in this country and the direction that this country takes is going to affect our world. And the direction our country takes is going to be shaped by the future leaders of tomorrow. You find those leaders on college campuses today. We've got a big job ahead of us. A big job. Let me say a prayer, and then we will move on. I think Brother Paul Kreitz is going to speak this evening. He's my San Francisco pal. I'll be joining them out there in about a year, Lord willing. And then after that, I think T.C. Brown is going to share. He's going to remind us why we're here. He's going to share his testimony. But let's say a prayer. Father God, we are so blessed to be able to come here this weekend. Father, we know a lot of other people are traveling that are going to be here with us tomorrow. I pray for safe travel for all of them. And God, I pray that you soften our hearts, that we be open to change, that we be open to doing your will on these campuses, Father. And we know that it's your will to reach the lost. We know that it's your will for us to awaken to those around us who need the gospel, who need a relationship with Jesus. And as we're here as ministers in this ministry of reconciliation, I pray that you give us your eyes when we look out to the people around us. I pray that we can see the needs, that we can see the hurts, and that you will just empower us to do what is your will for us to do in reaching out to these people and in touching the lives of this, not only the individuals in this nation, but this nation as a whole in this world. Father, I just pray that you use us in a powerful way as we stand and with one voice we say, amen.